Okay, welcome back to a couple hours of open lines here on Coast to Coast AM. Looking forward to this with you. Those of you who have been on hold with some ghost stories, we'll keep you. And those of you calling in, we'll get right to you as well. I want to start this program a little differently tonight. I have a friend in St. Louis. His name is Sam Weil. Sam is a great guy. Everybody knows him in town. And he's got a stepbrother. Had a stepbrother by the name of Gabe, Gabe Weil. And Gabe had muscular dystrophy, restricted to a wheelchair. And I want to read something. Something that apparently Gabe had dictated to somebody to write some time ago. Listen closely. Dear muscular dystrophy, what doesn't challenge me doesn't change me. Boy, have you changed me. But to be honest, I don't really think about you all that often. I can't even really be mad at you at this point. After all, we grew up together, and I've never known life without you. Certainly, you've made most aspects of my life more challenging, but if life were easy, it wouldn't be interesting. The low points in life are what allow me to fully appreciate the small things. You've made all the physical aspects of my life a challenge. You've taken away so many of my abilities. You took away my ability to walk, then my ability to stand, and now the use of my legs altogether. You've denied me the ability to sit up straight. You've stolen from me the possibility of ever feeding myself again. You've humbled me by forcing me to ask for help to use the bathroom. You literally leave me short of breath. Recently, you tried to stop me from ever eating solid food again. But I can and do live without all those things. Despite taking so much away from me, in a lot of ways, you've also given me things for which I'm grateful. You've changed my overall attitudes and outlook on life. I appreciate all the things so much more than I probably would if you'd never come into my life. You allow me, sometimes force me, to live in the present and be thankful for each and every moment. Because of you, I know I need to treat everyone with a high level of respect. You've helped me reach out and find people who probably wouldn't have been in my life without you. My caregivers, my tutors, my physical and occupational therapists, my doctors, just to name a few. You've blessed me with the ability to trust, since I must rely on others for every single aspect of daily living. Sometimes you really scare me. You almost killed me a few times. One in particular, you stopped my heart and convinced my doctors you were going to end it all. I even started telling my parents to plan for my death. But I wasn't going to let you off the hook that easily. I fought back. And I'm going to continue to do so. And I don't care how you feel about it. So overall, muscular dystrophy, we might as well get used to one another because we're not going anywhere anytime soon without each other. This isn't going to end. And who knows, maybe one day somebody will find a way to get rid of you forever. Wouldn't that be incredible? Sincerely, Gabe Weil. A day or so ago, they found Gabe dead in his bed. They haven't reported yet on what happened to him. But he fought for as long as he could. Our condolences. Open lines continue in a moment. And welcome back to Coast. This is what we call our midweek open lines here for you, and that's what we're going to do now for the next couple hours. Our thanks, by the way, to Mark Stavish for spending some time talking to us about the poltergeist world. Some of you on hold talking about that as well. So let us go to the phones. Let's pick it up by starting with Rich in Charleston, South Carolina, east of the Rockies to get things going. Hey, Rich, good morning to you.
Well, thank you. Good morning to you too, George. I'm sorry I missed Mark. I wanted his view on a short story that I wanted to share with you.
Okay, I'd love to hear it.
Oh, I have two, okay? The first one starts like this. It was around 1990. I had been married just a couple of years, and my wife and I were renting this apartment, and the stairs went up, and the apartment went from the left to the right. It was just a long type of apartment, okay? It was, so when you walk up the stairs, of course, the right shoulder, you make a right at the top of the landing, you'd go into the bedroom. You make a left, you'd be in the living room, and then you keep going to the left, and there would be another bedroom on the far end. And in that bedroom, I kept my parrot. He stayed in his cage in there. Very good boy. He never fluttered. He went to bed at night, you know, never screamed, never nothing. Well, the apartment started, I noticed a cold spot in there. Now, this is in the summertime, this room, you know, it's an attic apartment. So it got kind of cold in there. And I was like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Even at night, it was very cold. So then my parrot started to flutter, scream. I got out of the bed, and go into that room. What's going on? Didn't know. And this was going on for several weeks. Well, one night I'm sitting watching television in the living room, and my wife had called me. I said, yeah, hon, now I'm petting the cat. I have a cat. The cat was sitting next to me on my left. I'm watching TV in front of me. And all of a sudden, when my wife called me, I said, yeah, hon, and I put my hand on the cat. The cat was staring at toward the kitchen, a little bit towards the left, and the cat was like a brick of clay.
No, jeez.
The cat was hard. Spooked the living jeebers out of me, and all of a sudden, as I looked down at the cat, I saw with the left side, I saw, you know, with my peripheral vision, I saw a figure walk out of that room, the one where the bird was, into the kitchen at the same time. I told my wife to come here. I thought that was her. She come from the right. And this figure came from the left. I said, I thought that was you over there coming out of the other bedroom. She goes, no, I was in our bedroom.
Oh, boy.
Well, you know, that kind of scared me. I explained to her what was going on. She knew about the coldness in that room all the time. Well, comes to be, we paid the rent at the end of the week there. And I noticed the landlady with her girlfriend down there. I said, what are you doing? What's that? She goes, oh, it's a Ouija board.
There you go.
You're getting into Ouijas? Oh, yeah, it's real fun.
Oh, man.
Two weeks we were out of there, George, okay? We were gone. That was it. That was
smart move.
Now, here's the other one, George. I bought a house here, that was up in New York. Now down here in South Carolina, George, I bought a house. I'm living by myself now. I'm divorced. I bought this beautiful little home out in the semi-country, a little rural, and I thought I was going nuts. After about a year in that house, I really fixed this place up really, really nice. I started hearing music. Georgia was music way, way, way out in the distance. Couldn't make it out, but it kind of sounded like music from like the big band era.
Okay.
Okay, way in the back. It was music. 2, 3, 4 in the morning, my house is quiet. You could hear a pin drop. I hear music.
So you figure somebody's got some radio on or something.
I'm thinking something. Well, I remarried. My wife, of course, is living with me in that house. And then one night, I said to her, just out of the blue, I go, do you hear that? And she looked at me and she goes, you hear that? I go, you hear the music? And she goes, yeah. I go, you've been hearing? She goes, yeah, I heard it, but I never thought you would believe me by you know, if I told you I hear music. So we're real quiet and we hear this music. This is why I wanted Mark. We hear it, but you don't know where it's coming from. And it was pleasant. So we're Christian people. We fear God. We believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
And but we're wondering, what is it or was it? Because I haven't heard it in, I got the word again, haven't heard it in years.
Is it same song?
There's no song, George. It's so faint that you just know it's musical instruments playing.
And what about neighbors playing something? Or
No.
No way, huh?
No. There's no. We were assuming that they were a friendly ghost in the house, you know, somebody that had lived there and died there, because the house does have a little bit of a history of a little lady that did die there. But I think she's happy. I take care of the property. The property looks, it's the second best looking house on my block. And maybe it's a good spirit. I just wanted to know what maybe you thought about this or what Mark thought about it. I'm not scared. I now have the same parrot. I had him for 30 years now. My cat, I have a new cat, and I have a dog. They every now and then will stare into space and stay, you know, just stare for a quick moment because, you know, as I know and everyone else knows, that they see and hear things we don't, and they can't speak. So, you know, are they seeing something there? They're not afraid. There is no fear in them. There's no fear in me. Once again, I never heard that music again. I'm kind of wondering what it might be, George.
That is a good question. That is a bizarre good question, Rich. I don't know. You know, originally I would say there's somebody playing music way in the background, but you don't think so. So that's something square. You've got spirits that like to listen to big band music. Ralph in Monroe, Louisiana. Hey, Ralph, welcome to the show.
Hey, George, how you doing?
Okay, thank you.
I'm a fourth-time caller. First time I called you was in 2000.
Well, good to have you back.
When the computer decided it wanted my soul. But apparently it ain't got it yet. And I was the one that also was having knives and magnets thrown at me. But one thing I didn't tell you was I was a spiritual healer and I practice chi. And I have them all the time here at my house. Two, three, up to ten at one time.
And tell people what chi is. It's an energy, right?
Absolutely. I heal people all the time with it. As a matter of fact, I just come back from Ohio from helping my cousin who had a stroke with him. And I'm also a direct bloodline of Tecumseh, by the way.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. I went up to, he was born in Greene County, which is where I went to. I went and chied up there on some of his land where he used to be at. And great energy. My cousin said it was the best healing he ever had was
good
there.
You do this a lot?
Yes, sir, all the time.
Good for you. Did you self-taught?
Yes, sir. By the way, on cleansing people, all you got to do is take a magnet and go across their meridian from the top of their forehead where the third eye is at, all the way to the tailbone, and bless in the name of Yeshua, and do it about four or five times, and usually you feel it come right on out.
Jeez, how big's the magnet got to be?
It don't really matter, but I like to use the healing, there's different kinds. I like to use the natural magnets better than the ones.
Yeah.
But a refrigerator magnet will work.
They say magnetism is magic in healing for people. You know, we take your texts and your tweets now for questions, and Tom is the one who passes them on to me.
This first one is a tweet from Chuck.
All right. And where is Chuck? Does he say?
No, they don't say.
All right.
Tweets are shorter.
I know.
Have you ever suspected the Coast Studio to be haunted?
Never. But I will tell you an interesting Ouija board story, as I've said several times. But back in St. Louis, when I was doing my Nighthawk show, I had a Ouija board. And I had a Ouija board in the studio. And I was going to do a show on the Ouija board, and everything went wrong in that studio. It was always technically perfect. Everything went wrong. The board, the computer, I couldn't play commercials. It was a disaster. I had my producer, Howard, at the time. I gave it to him, and I said, Howard, take this out. I'm done with it. And he did, and everything came back on, like within minutes.
And it never broke down again?
No, but the problem was he gave the Ouija board to a guy named Daryl in the newsroom. And Daryl, of course, got fired, and then he got divorced, and his life was nothing but upside down. And we ran into him about a year later and said, Daryl, how you been? And he said, ever since you people gave me that Ouija board,
you people,
my life has been rotten. And he finally got rid of it. He didn't get rid of it the right way, though. You're supposed to burn it. He did get rid of it, and things were starting to look up for him.
You think we should experiment with Dan?
Galante?
Yeah, I was just bringing a Ouija board.
No, I wouldn't do that to him. What's wrong with you, Tom?
There's nothing wrong with me. It's an experiment.
Why would you want to give Dan Galante, a great guy, a Ouija board experiment, knowing what the end results were going to be, and that
would
be to destroy him?
Not to him in particular, but because he runs the equipment.
No, you just said, can I bring it to Dan?
Yes, because he's the engineer. It would not necessarily destroy him.
It could.
It could and could not.
You're ready to take that chance with him?
There's a million of them sitting in supermarkets. You don't see supermarkets falling to the ground, do you?
What are you talking about?
Ouija boards.
What do you mean Ouija boards in supermarkets?
Not supermarkets, markets, so where they sell
you
them.
You said supermarkets.
Okay, well, that's
There's
not...
something wrong with you, Tom.
Knock it off, George.
Next up, Claudia, Joshua Tree, California. Hey, Claudia, how are you?
Hi, George. How are you this evening?
I think Tom has problems, don't you?
Well, he differs from you. I had a Ouija board once a long time ago. It told me stupid things, but I didn't believe in it, so maybe that's why it didn't have it.
Well, I hope you got rid of it, though.
Yeah, I did. Well, I gave it to my daughter, and she used it as a trade.
Oh, that was a nice gift, Claudia. Jeez.
Well, I didn't know the Ouija boards were evil then, but she didn't seem to bother her either. She just used it as a tray to sit and watch TV with. I have two stories, too, but I was listening. First, a quick thing. I was listening to that... food that lasts for 25 years.
Yes.
This is a problem. But what about people's animals? I think somebody ought to come up with food for animals.
Ooh, storable food for animals.
Yeah.
That's a pretty interesting idea. They might have that. I have to check into that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, my ghost story is there's a lighthouse off the coast of New England, one of the coast New England states somewhere, and it was occupied by people for almost 200 years, and then the Navy took it over and turned it into an automated station. And every 6 months, they'd send out a couple of sailors to maintain it, maintenance and stuff like that. And the sailors complained that something was going on there. There were sounds, and they thought they heard voices, and things just moved. And so the Ghostbusters went out there, and they couldn't find a ghost. And I'm sitting here watching them on TV, and I'm thinking, you idiots, I'm not even there, and I can tell you, there's no ghost, it's the lighthouse itself. It was used to having people for almost 200 years, or a family.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And I wondered what you thought of that, because you've got so many different informations from people. I think that the lighthouse was the one, and I'm thinking sailors ought to go out there and sit down and for a while and visit with the lighthouse. It might feel better. I'm sure it was just lonely.
Lighthouses are there to protect people, Claudia. They always have been since the beginning of time. Facebook. I hope you're liking us on Facebook. If you do have a Facebook account, just go to our website, coasttocoastam.com, right there in the far right-hand corner. Just click the like, and there you go. Make sure you're getting our tweets. We also do Instagram, but get those tweets because we're sending out information every day as well. It's really timely. I mean, it's just amazing what social network has been able to do in terms of getting information just like that from people. Well, we're going to come back in just a moment. More open lines for you here on Coast to Coast AM. And don't forget, we always take your emails as well at george@coasttocoastam.com. george@coasttocoastam.com. And I do hope that all of you stick with us all week long. We've still got some great programs for you right here on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast, open lines here. Let's go to Dave in the state of Washington, west of the Rockies. Hey, David, thanks for calling, and welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning.
Yeah, you too.
Hey, here's something that happened to me and a couple of buddies of mine in 77. It was the end of the school year, and I remember it was a bright, blue, sunny day. And my friend invited me and my other buddy there to come over to his house, and I'll never forget. He said he had some Oreo cookies and the new Elton John record. And so we were all excited to go hear this and have some cookies. Well, he lived about four blocks from our school, and on the way to his house, literally on the same street was my church, which happened to be the Catholic church.
Okay.
And his house was right across the street. If you were to go out the front door of the Catholic church, his house would have been six houses down across the street on the left. So I asked my buddies, have they ever been in this church? And they said no, but they were curious about it. And I said, well, this is my church. Why don't you guys come in here and I'll kind of show you the routine, and it's pretty cool. You'll like it. So they were kind of snickering, and they thought that was funny, but I didn't care. So we walked inside my church. we walked up to the very front, and I remember we all sat down in a pew, and I kneeled down, and I was kind of showing them the routine, and I remember I closed my eyes, and I started to pray, and I still heard them kind of snickering and giggling and carrying on, and the next thing I heard is both of these guys take some huge intakes of air, and so I opened my eyes. And what I saw just terrified me, and it does to this day when I think about it. We ran out of the church, and I remembered the sunshine on my skin, but still thinking that the world had changed. And we ran to his house. It was like a scene out of a horror movie. He's trying to get his keys. We're trying to get the door open. When we finally got inside, we were all literally gasping for breath because we sprinted. And I asked them, I said, did you guys see what I saw? And both of them looked me right in my eyes and said, I saw a lady's face. Well, I saw her whole body. There was a big cloud of blue smoke in the front of the church, and she was kneeling in a sitting position. She was like sitting on her heels with her hands in her lap, and she also looked me right in my eye. And there was so much power and like magnificence in the room, it was just terrifying.
Who do you think she was, David?
I have no idea. You know, when I play it back in my mind, there's only two things that this could have been. This is 1977, I think I already said. Somebody was either waiting for somebody to come in there with blue special effects smoke and some kind of a holographic projection, or this being or this entity, we really saw what we saw.
Could it have been the Virgin Mary?
You know, I don't want to, I'm kind of letting you steer that, but I'll tell you one thing. I don't want to sound cliche, but she did have the period clothing on, and she did have a shawl over her hair like we always see.
Right.
You know, like people suggest. I mean, it looked like somebody out of time, for sure.
Why were you scared? You were scared only because it just kind of appeared?
It was too magnificent for me. My mind couldn't, you know what I mean? I couldn't take it in.
I see.
And I had my eyes closed. And like I said, the only reason those guys didn't see Oliver is they turned around. I saw her whole body. And the kind of the epilogue to this story is my buddy was killed not so long ago on the pass here in Washington State. And I got together with his wife, who was an old school chum. We're all the same age and everything.
Sure.
And I asked her about this, if he had ever mentioned this to her. And she started crying and said that he would always cry when he talked about this.
Wow. Wow, that affected you guys forever. David, thank you. First-time caller Maria in Coos Bay, Oregon. Hi, Maria. Thanks for holding so long.
Hi, George.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine. I just can't believe I actually get to talk to you.
Well, you did, and you waited long enough.
Yes, I did. I love your show. I've been listening, well, since December.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you joined us. How'd you find us?
Well,
Somebody tell you about us or what?
No, I got my cable disconnected because I just couldn't afford it, and I just started listening to talk radio.
Listening to radio. Good. That's smart.
And then you were on there, and all the shows are about everything. I mean, the psychics and all that. I just loved it. But I have a story about Ouija boards, and I don't like them either. My mother messed with them for a long time, and it told her things like good things, like it predicted my cousin's birth and all that. Well, then it said, Jeannie, which is my Uncle Jeannie, much sadness, and he died of carbon monoxide poisoning after the Ouija board did that, and my mom was so scared. She says, I'll never mess with this again. Don't you kids ever mess with one. And she put the Bible on the Ouija board and said, let the light of Jesus Christ shine, and the Ouija board never worked for her again.
That's good. She learned it the hard way, though, didn't she?
Yes, she did.
Stay away from those. Thanks, Maria.
Thank you.
It's a great story. Let's go to Tom with a text or a tweet. What do you got back there, Tommy?
This is a text from Rob in South Dakota. With scientific advances, do you think full weather manipulation will factor in future wars?
Oh, yeah, I think they're happening now. I think we have the capability, the Chinese have the capability, the Russians do, of manipulating weather. They seed clouds. That's manipulation. And I think they probably create droughts over certain regions just to destroy other countries.
But not fully, right? I mean, they can't.
I don't think they can control the planet.
No.
Not at this point, but they're doing the best they can.
They might in the future, like she says, or he says.
I mean, I always remember in the Chinese Olympics several years ago, they said, you know, people were wondering about the weather, you know, and how the weather was going to affect the Olympics. And they said, the Chinese said, don't worry about the weather. We can control that. I mean, my gosh, that's an incredible
quote.
It's a bold
statement. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
All right. Thanks, Tom. And we'll look forward next hour for a couple more of these from you. Let's go to Mike in Ohio on the wild card line. Hey, Mike, welcome to the show.
George, how are you doing tonight?
Okay. Everything's good.
That's good. I kind of hung up the other day when Bev was on talking about her.
Bev Harris, Black Box Voting.
Yeah. You know, I was going to talk to you about why don't we just use the ACH system for voters.
Yeah, control. You had mentioned that, and she didn't know how it would work. Explain how that would work. The ACH system is a banking system. How would that work for elections?
It processes your credit cards.
All right.
So, you know, when you say if you're going to a store and you want to buy a gift card for a birthday for somebody.
Sure.
Well, you load the card up with $20 and it records that. Well, you can use those same cards or any kind of card with a magnetic strip. When we go to vote in Ohio, you know, we go to the precinct and they look up our name in a book and we have to sign it and everything. And they give you a voter card and you put it in the Diebold machine.
Okay.
Well, what if everybody just had their own card or they passed them out or any card with a magnetic strip?
Or a chip, probably a chip.
Well,
nowadays.
A chip is different. See, a chip can be read by different readers. But a magnetic strip, you have your own control of that. And they swipe it. It can put a randomized number on that. And then you go to your voting machine. And the way I would set it up is that every candidate or every issue has a value. Like if there's four candidates for president, the one you vote yes for has a one. The other three have zeros.
Hmm.
And then the Diebold machines, they have that tape that they could print that out. And then you know what your randomized number is. They can list that right on any website. You can check for your randomized number and see exactly the way you voted. And there's no fraud in the system.
It's fail-safe. Sounds like it.
I mean, as long as the banking system doesn't crash.
Yeah, watch that happen.
But, I mean, I thought about it for a little while, and I knew him. That's why I looked up Frank Abagnale Jr. If you could get him on your show to talk about anything like that.
All right. I'll look into it. That's an interesting, novel idea.
That could set a system up kind of like what I described. And those Diebold machines can be, you know, set up like that. And the thing about a card, you know, it doesn't have to have your name on it. It just has to be able. You just have to be able to identify to the Board of Elections that's your card in case there's an error.
What do you think of the election so far, Mike?
I think I don't have it planned yet, but if I did, I'm going to sue the Secretary of State of Ohio because he's not going to be able to certify the elections because they're not going to be valid.
Wow! And you will sue as an individual, huh?
If I find an attorney with big cojones.
Yeah, that would cost you a fortune. He'd have to eat some of it.
I think every Secretary of State in all these swing states, I think they're all going to have challenges.
Who's ahead in polls in Ohio right now?
It's hard to tell.
It's that close, isn't it?
Yeah. And you see, say with these cards, if you had your own card, if you're walking outside and somebody's taking an exit poll, that's your choice to reveal your vote. So you can just swipe your card in their reader, and they've got your who you voted on,
huh,
without giving your name. You could vote in a different state with your own card. You know what I'm saying?
And would that work for absentee people?
Yeah. You could vote anywhere in the world electronically, and it would retain your anonymity.
Interesting take. Okay, Mike, thanks. Keep in touch with us. Let us know how things are progressing in Ohio. Next up, we go to Queens, New York. Glenn's with us on Coast to Coast. Glenn, thank you.
Yes. George?
Hi.
How you doing, man?
Everything's
really
good.
Nice to finally speak to you. I've been listening. You know, it's funny. The woman that called a few minutes ago, you asked her how she found the show.
Yeah.
I found the show the same way and the same time. It was December.
Got rid of TV, yeah.
I'm watching the TV and it just blew, just went off. So I didn't have a TV. I turned the radio on. I love radio anyway. I had never heard your show. I started listening. I listen every night now.
Oh, thank you.
But before I go further, am I allowed to try to answer that trivia question about the theme song for the TV show?
Oh, no, because I don't have the theme song with me. I'm in St. Louis, and I got it hidden away in my office in L.A.
Well, I know the answer.
Don't guess it. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Don't I won't do it unless you tell me I can.
Yeah, no, don't do it. But the next time you... I'll tell you what I will do. Because I'll be back in L.A. in about 3 weeks, and we'll do the theme again. And if you call in on open lines, I'll remember your name, and
right.
I'll play the theme for you, and you can take the stab at it, even though you probably know who it is.
Well, you know, I'm pretty sure. I'm almost positive, you know. It's funny because I had it on Friday night. And when it was done, I tried to call, and it was a little late, and I couldn't get
I'm going to try to milk it for another couple of weeks when I do it. But
yeah, well, it's the same one, right? No one got that one yet.
Nobody's
right?
gotten it. No, nobody's gotten
funny,
that one.
Because there's a little hook in it that I remembered. I said, okay, I won't say any more about it, and I'll try again the next time. What might be next, what, Wednesday or Thursday, you think? When is the next time you'll have an open call?
It doesn't matter.
I listen every night.
I might be able to have Dan night. Go into my office and look for the tape. I've got it hidden away. So I might
okay.
do that.
No, it's just funny. I finally got through and I can't say anything. At any rate, the other couple of things I wanted to say very quickly.
Sure.
That I really do like the show a lot. And I wanted to say something about you personally. You're a terrific interviewer. I'm a journalist myself, and a lot of my interviews are, it's different. If I'm doing it with somebody that I need to tape them, and I try not to do that,
yeah.
That's easier. But you, the questions you ask, I listen, and they talk, and you're talking to people that know all what they're doing. And all of a sudden, you ask a question, it says, wow, that's the perfect question. And the next one. And I'm not just trying to say be nice to you, because I know a lot of guys in the business that can't do an interview for nothing.
Well, thank
they
you.
They talk all over the person. They don't let them answer. So just I just thought I'd let you know that. And what else I wanted to say? The Ouija boards.
Oh, no.
Wouldn't you love if the Marx Brothers were still around and they could have made a movie about the Ouija boards? That would be the end of the Ouija boards forever.
Yeah, it would. It would crush them. My God.
Me too.
Did you ever play with one when you were a kid?
I was in a room with people playing it, and I never got to do it. Not that I said, oh, I don't want to. I never thought about it. I just saw them playing with something. You know, there was 10, 12 people in the house.
Yeah.
Four or five of them were sitting, and they were doing stuff, you know, like asking about their friend in school. But I never really heard what they were doing. But listening to your show, I've been hearing all these stories. I didn't realize how evil the thing was.
I think it
that's
is.
That's why I would love it if you don't want to spread this to women. But what else? Oh, finally, and thanks for letting me talk.
Sure.
That Johnny Cash song that you played, Walk the Line.
I love that
that's
song.
The first time I realized what a great love song that is.
I mean, and you know what? I didn't appreciate him.
Ballad,
then.
Right?
I didn't appreciate him until way later on. I wish I'd gotten into him.
Yeah, me too. I didn't get into him until later, but I have a wonderful DVD I found, an old Pete Seeger shows. He apparently had a TV show on in the very early 60s, and he did an hour with him and his wife, and it was just amazing. But when I was listening to that particular song, and I was thinking, that's what real love is about. Years and years together, not just high school and the first time in love. That's what I got out of it.
You got it.
You know, that's the truth.
Are you a Sinatra
you
fan?
With somebody, you get to learn something about them that you never knew you were going to know.
Are you a Sinatra fan, too?
What was that, sir?
Are you a Sinatra fan?
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, I'm a musician, too. So.
Oh, you are? What do you play?
I play guitar. And I'm very curious of what songs you sing when you sing those four songs. But don't tell me if that's a secret, if that's a trade secret.
We got to get you. You got to get you to one of my events.
I know it's so hard for me to get out of New York to, right now. It is anyway. But I mean, and that's another one. Sinatra. I didn't really get into him until later in life. You know.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of music, I'd like to. If you could put me on, I'd like to get your address. I have some music I'd love to send to you. So
sure.
I don't know if you're a jazz fan. But this is
I love jazz.
I had a big jazz band.
All right, I'm going to put you on hold.
Stuff.
I'll put you on hold, and Tommy, take care of Glenn. Give him an address, and he'll send it straight out to me, and I'll get it when I get back. Let's go next to Rosie in Thousand Oaks, California. Hi, Rosie.
Hi. Hello, George. I just wanted to tell you about my experience in Chicago in the 70s.
All right. What happened?
Well, we lived on the west side, and it was a three-story west side walk-up. And my dad used to work two night shifts. And we had a living room, a front room, and a dining room in the back room. And one night, It was just my mom and my brother and my sister. And there was an arch between the living room and the dining room, and I saw a dark figure peering out from beyond the arch. And it gave the hair on the back of my neck straight up, and I figured it can't be my dad, he's at work. My family, we're all here together. And so I quickly turned to the right, and I saw my first dark entity.
Shadow people.
Yeah, it was a shadow person. And until listening to your show, I didn't know what it was.
Now you do.
I know. And
did it scare you?
That, not really. I was a little upset because I quickly shot up and I ran into the dining room and there was nothing there. And it was quite daunting and scary, but that house had a lot of supernatural things going on. It was over 200 years old. It was on the west side.
Oh, my God. 200 years old.
Yeah. And it's
wow. Upgraded a little bit with new electricity and stuff, no doubt. Right?
Yeah, well, now I'm in Thousand Oaks, so it's a newer house, so hopefully.
Yeah, you're not too far from our L.A. studio. Not too far at all.
So that's all I wanted to share.
Okay, Rosie, thanks. Enjoy the night. And do we have time for another call? Marcus in the Netherlands on Skype. Marcus, what's going on?
Hi, George.
Hey there.
Hello. Hey, how are you?
Great. Everything good in the Netherlands?
Well, so-so.
What's the matter?
Anyway, nothing really the matter, but it's just, well, let's not go into this, please. Because, George, this is going to be brief, okay?
But, all right, go ahead. We've got 12 seconds for you.
This is a choice. So I can either tell you two sides of the coin in this, the things you're talking about, entities and stuff.
Or,
I had a very special weekend.
You had a good weekend? What'd you do?
A very special weekend.
What happened?
Well, I can tell you that, but I'll leave the other story, okay?
All right.
Okay.
How was the weekend?
Well,
you're going to have to wait now. I'll be back.